Sabina after the lesson today that I didn't want to come back to the lesson this morning, which was the second lesson on the subject of God's agent and the multiple agents that God used in correcting us, guiding us, punishing us, blessing us. But I don't plan to get back to this lesson anytime in the near future, but sometime necessity changed those plans. There are a few things I want to sort of bring across to us so as to make sure that everyone wanting to and who have heard this lesson would gain a better understanding. We mention in the lesson that the Almighty God, throughout his recorded dealing with man, God has used multiple and all sorts of agents. God used angels, used mortal men and women like we are. God used devils. In fact, I need to repeat that, devils. God used devils, he used nature, dumb nature. God used that. God used affliction. He used various circumstances. The Almighty God used trivial things and important and significant things. The Almighty God used likely and unlikely things. And throughout the history of God dealing with men and women, this is what we notice. And lesson like this, we should sort of educate ourselves and be mindful so that as we go through life, not knowing what will confront us tomorrow, then we'll understand that God might be in the picture, working out things for us. The Bible says all things, not some, work together for good to them that love God. All things. And God wasn't fooling us in that passage there in Romans. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, God used evil, demonic spirit. Watch here. If I use the word demons, demonic spirit, I'm correct. But in this passage, the Almighty God used evil spirit, demonic spirit, not only to correct false prophets, but to punish these obia workers. Let us hear the passage, chapter 19, verse 12 following. Notice, vagabond, that is, the word have the idea of something or somebody who is wandering, who have no place of abode, one vagabond Jews, they are Obia people.
Took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord.
You see, the false prophet and those who believe and embrace the truth, calling upon Jesus Christ doesn't have the same meaning and the same significance then as well as now. We must be mindful of that. So they saw how Paul and others used Christ's name to bring about positive change. And they felt, now they specialize, they dabble in falsehood, deception. And they thought they could simply call on Jesus' name and receive the same effect as Paul. So read, brother.
In the name of the Lord Jesus, say, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches.
That's right. I see him one who Paul just used to, etc., etc. I see him one we are using. Read.
And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?
It is fascinating that even he for whom they were did not recognize them. Remember, they were false prophets. They worked for Satan. But here the satanic, the evil spirit says, I know Paul. I know Jesus. Isn't it wonderful that even demonic spirit acknowledge Christ? I know Paul. I know Christ. Who are you? I don't know you. Now that's the demonic spirit under whose control they operate is claiming that he didn't know them. But let us hear a little more.
And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks.
They ran. They didn't even realize that they were naked. But this is God's doing. They were trifling with Jesus' name. And Jesus Christ would have none of that. Hence, what we have just seen in the verse. It's about verse 16?
At
17. Well, you may stop there. Another case is found in Acts chapter 16:25. God used, watch here, we are looking, the lesson this morning, and I'm just, these are a few of the points, and we're not going to be touching all of them that were left, that I did not comment on this morning. But another case is in Acts 16, 25, following. God used, didn't I say this morning and tonight that the Almighty God uses nature? God used that all the time. God can use the hurricane to bring us to our senses. Earthquake, tornado, lightning, any of those. Well, God have used those in the past, and I have no doubt that he will use those in the future or the present as it please God. We, as God's children, should be mindful of that. For example, in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verse 25, God used, watch here, the earthquake. God used the earthquake as an agent, watch here, to release Paul, to get the jailer's attention, that's two, and to make the jailer receptive. Watch here, I didn't say to convert the jailer, because the earthquake didn't convert the jailer, but it made the jailer receptive. He felt that it is wise now to listen to Paul and to what Paul's God have to say to him. All that was brought about by the earthquake. And it's not any accident. The Almighty God was using nature to get this man's attention. Look, let us hear the passage.
And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose.
All this is miracle. Because normally earthquake doesn't remove the handcuff from your hand. Of course, in those days, the chain was also put especially around their feet. So what is being done here is God's doing. Read, brother.
And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself.
One of the things to note here, Paul never forgot what his mission and duty was. This is important. Because sometimes you and I can be so affected negatively by an evil person that even when the opportunity comes for us to introduce Christ at that moment, sometimes we forget and we are swayed by other consideration. That person might have been one who have done you evil. And you notice the person is about to do something wrong to get him or herself in problem. And you like that, not necessarily because you're a hateful person, but because of the wrong that the person has done you. Sometimes we can be misguided in our feeling. When the man drew the sword to kill himself, and we all understand that because he was responsible for the prisoners with his own life, he felt it would be better for him to kill himself than to face the trials and the embarrassment that he would have to face. But Paul never forget, as I've said, what his life was about, helping men and women to know Jesus Christ. So Paul hastily called to the man, the prison officer, and asked the man to do himself no harm. We have not escaped. We are still here. That's great. Read on. You see, this type of reception, that's what God wants. God wanted this man to be receptive to the message that Paul had from God to him. And that was achieved. But here is another case. The Almighty God used affliction. Did I say affliction? Yes. To bring David back from falling completely. What you mean falling completely, Brother Mitchell? From backsliding to the point that probably there would be no way back. What did God use? Affliction. So that's sometimes God use even today. Let us look at it in the book of Psalms, 119, 67, 71. That is Psalms 119, verse 67 and verse 71.
Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word.
Everybody understand that? That is, before affliction come my way, I used to do my own thing and don't care. But now, my God, that you have brought affliction in my direction, it caused me to rethink and to become conscious, more conscious of your will. Yes, brother.
It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes.
Everybody gets that? Here the man is saying, my affliction is good. Why was it good, David? Because of the end product. I learned to pay attention to your will. But here's the case. When Paul, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, 7.
Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation,
Watch here. Even Peter acknowledged Paul's knowledge in respect to the will of God. Even Peter had to bring it to the attention of Peter's audience, where he spoke about reading what Paul said. There are some deep things that are hard to be understood. And what Peter has acknowledged, that even him, the inspired Peter, found them hard to be understood. Peter said, which the unlearned wrestle, fight to their own destruction. Right there, you and I learn that when you and I fight and wrestle and twist God's word to make it say what we want to say, we are doing so to our own destruction. But the point here is that here is a fellow inspired apostle who was acknowledging Paul's knowledge in the will of God. And that is what under consideration in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. Did you miss that? Let us hear it again, Brother Webb.
Mm-hmm. To the abundance of the revelation,
mm-hmm.
there was given to me a thorn in the flesh.
Stop there. Had I not been given this thorn, this prickle in the flesh, that referred to some sickness, ailment that afflicted Paul. But Paul is stating up front the reason it was given him, to buffet his body. That is, I usually use the term to keep him under heavy manners. And that is because of the vast knowledge that God gave this man. Paul is saying something had to be given him to keep his feet on the ground, to keep him humble. That's why the thorn in the flesh was given. That's what he's admitting here. But read on a little more.
The messenger of Satan.
Watch here. You get that? The thorn in the flesh is that which Satan usually used to get us. It's Satan's messenger. But in this passage, there is no indication that it is being used by Satan. The Almighty God at least permitted it. Because Satan doesn't give us anything to benefit us spiritually. And what this thorn in the flesh benefit Paul? Because he's acknowledging that it kept him humble. It is a messenger of Satan being used by the Almighty God to keep Paul humble. What we are to be learning as we look on these cases is get to know God more. Very important. I hope to touch on just one more case to help us to know God more. In fact, the word use, that is the word given, imply that it was a favor or a gift. That's the idea in the word in the passage. That it was a favor to him, thorn in the flesh, yes, but it was given as a gift, something from which Paul would benefit. And from his own acknowledgement, he benefited from it because it made him humble. It was positive and favorable. But it was used by God in this case to bring about the effect, the positive effect we see. But look at one more passage. Look at 1 Kings chapter 22. And I think I want about verse 20. 1 Kings 22 and about verse 20.
And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?
It's one of my favorite text, you know. For me, it's what passages like this reveal about God that has fascinated me and opened my eyes and my understanding in respect to the working of the Almighty God. Ahab was stubborn. You see, you and I can learn a lot from passages like this. Learn a lot in respect to knowing him with whom we have to do. That is, knowing the God that we deal with. Ahab was arrogant. He lacked humility. And he permitted his wicked wife Jezebel to control him. That was not good. It was not good either in the sight of man or of God. The Almighty God had previously indicated that Ahab should not go up to Ramoth Gilead and fight. But Ahab was bent in going there. And for this reason, watch here. Ahab surrounded himself with over 400, if my memory serves right, 400 false prophets who were fed from the royal dining room. Of this 400 plus prophet, there was one prophet, Micaiah, who would tell you nothing but the will of God. Now, if you are not careful, you can confuse yourself with this passage, and that's why I'm visiting it, and if something comes up that you need to ask question in, any Bible study coming up, feel free. The Almighty God was searching for an agent who specialized in telling lies effectively. That's why I'm saying that. Listen carefully. God did not put it in those agents to tell lies. They are agents that Satan used to deceive men and women. The Almighty God has a way up to this very moment that God watches our inclination, that which we really want and like. And God works with that. Are you a brother or sister who you just don't like God's truth? And God will notice you over a period of time that if the thing doesn't run down your street, you will criticize it, you will find fault with it, you will try to have your own way. The Almighty God will give you what you want. That's God. Ahab did not love God's truth. Neither him nor his wife, Jezebel. So listen again. You had started at verse 20.
And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?
The failure doesn't mean him get tired and a rest. The failure means that he may go up to Ramoth Gilead and died. Why? Because God saw the man's stubbornness and his arrogance. Read on. Brother Mitchell, what does that mean? It means all the demonic spirit, the evil spirit that present themselves for the job. One come and says to God, here is my qualification. Another one says to God, here is my qualification. I can do an effective job. Read on a little further.
And there came forth a spirit.
Uh-huh.
And stood before the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And said,
I will do the job. Watch here.
And the Lord said unto him, wherewith?
That is, how are you going to persuade Ahab? You see, if you own a business, you want to find the most effective employees in the business. So when you send out there that you are looking for certain employees, when they come, you know, just employ them. You question them. That's exactly what God is doing here. Read on.
Wherewith?
How are you going to persuade him? Watch here. All of this, the Almighty God wants to make sure that this spirit is effective, that the spirit that God going to employ to persuade Ahab will get the job done. May I just for a moment, if you go home and over the next day or two you study this passage, that will be good. We need to know God better. Truly. Read on, brother.
And he said,
mm-hmm.
I will go forth. And I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.
In our way of thinking about God, assessing God, would say, Brother Mitchell, I'm sure God not going to use our one day. Why? Brother Mitchell, you know, here say, him say, him a lying spirit. That is, he specialized, this demonic spirit specialized in lying, deceiving men and women. Are we all there? That's why it's so important that we love the truth. It may hurt us. It may go against our grain, but we must respect the truth at all times. Hold the passage, brother. Somebody else turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to notice something. From verse 10.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness.
I want you to, this is a passage I know you know. But I need to bring this to your attention. Listen. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness.
In them that perish.
Watch here now.
Because they receive not the love of the truth.
Read that again, brother.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because they received not the love of the truth.
It is important that humanity love God's truth. And you need to, when you try to bring your neighbor, your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, your good friend to Jesus Christ. Help them to understand that their attitude towards the truth of the gospel is key. That's where they will have God working against them or working with them. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be.
Saved.
Read on.
And for this cause.
For what reason? The word for this cause means for this reason.
God shall send them strong delusion.
You hear? Satan going to send them strong deception. No, not Satan. God. Everybody gets it? It is God that we have working against us when we have our hang up about plain New Testament truth. Are we all there? You want me to illustrate? Take the subject of head covering. Have you studied God's word and that? There's a passage here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It cannot get plainer. So you can let Brother Mitchell deceive you or anybody and tell you, Paul was just speaking to some contrary women at Corinth. The passage doesn't indicate that. We must make sure that God's truth we love, or else we have God working against us.
Yeah.
What it says there, brother?
And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion.
Strong deception.
That they should believe a lie.
Who going to be involved?
God shall send them.
God. So this is why, this is what we see in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22. The brother was about verse 21, 22, somewhere there.
And he said,
thou
shalt persuade him.
That is, God employ this angel, or these angel, and God said, make sure you get the job done. What was the job? To deceive Ahab. Now, if you have struggled with this, this is one of the reasons I come to this passage, because I'm encouraging you as we wrap up that feel free at any class to bring it up, and I'll say more about it. God did not put it in these demonic spirits or Satan angel, to be liars or to specialize. No. That's what they do for Satan. But the Almighty God, because God is sovereign, the Almighty God has the freedom to use whatever he wants, whoever he wants, to carry out his everlasting will. God has that right. But God does not put it in them to lie. But God can use them, as he does here, for men and women who love a lie. It is as if God is saying, okay, you love a lie, you love a falsehood, let me help you along that path. That's what we have here.
Yeah.
And I beg you to learn more about God from this passage. So,
thou shalt persuade him and prevail also.
You must persuade Ahab and make sure you succeed.
Go forth and do so.
You get the job. You get the job. You are employed. This is strong delusion. May the Almighty God help us to know him better. And that passages like this, we do not get confused, but that we are enlightened in respect to the God with whom we have to do. Thank you. As we close, you know, as we close, just the fact that another case that I would normally have shared is where God permitted, God worked with the envy, the hate, the betrayal, God worked with Potiphar's slander and lies. God worked with Joseph's imprisonment. God works with and through the dream of the butler and work around them to plant Joseph's feet in Pharaoh's palace. The point I want to just leave with you is that the Almighty God is never in hurry. Never. But that while God has never been in hurry, God has always been on time. Because it is the case, you see, we like shortcuts. We like to take the shortest route to wherever we are going. God doesn't work like that. So this is why the many shortcuts that present itself that God could have used in landing Joseph in Pharaoh's palace, God didn't take any of those shortcuts. But in getting Joseph where God wanted him, God was on time. Thank you.